And we're back here, WWGH Radio, Wednesday, October the 16th, 2019, 17 minutes past the hour, having a good time this morning, talking about strange cravings, or I don't even like to use the word strange or weird or anything like that, but maybe just something you do, something you eat that's out of the ordinary. Now, what do you eat that's out of the ordinary? Give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Is there something that you eat that maybe people in your house go, how can you eat that? But you like it anyway. We've had some interesting ones this morning. We've had peanut butter and syrup. We have had hamburger, pickles, and mayonnaise. All kinds of different concoctions that people seem to like. What is something that you eat that some people would think would be a little different? Now, I know people still do the ketchup and the macaroni and cheese, and I have never understood ketchup and macaroni and cheese. Now, I did used to like ketchup and scrambled eggs. I always thought that was a very good concoction. And to be honest with you, I've seen a lot of people eat their scrambled eggs that way. And I'm not sure how that all came about, where you would put ketchup on your scrambled eggs. I'm not sure what it is about ketchup on scrambled eggs that makes them taste so good. But is there anything you eat that's a little different? Kind of recipe day here on the early show. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, we also have the Charlie Evers Show coming up today, 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon. We have A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble from 12:10 to 1 p.m. And we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman returning today from 4:10 until 5 p.m. So we have a full slate of programming here today on WWGH Radio. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon will air tonight, 6:10 to 7 p.m., and that's something certainly worth listening to. That airs Sunday and Wednesday, 6:10 to 7 p.m. Phone lines are open, coming up on 20 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Is there something that you like to eat that is not typically something other people would eat? You know, I used to know a lot of people who used to like to eat the popcorn that was strung on the Christmas tree. Now, this I never understood, because if you want some popcorn, I guess you could just go make some popcorn. But that's one of those traditions that's kind of going by the wayside anyway. I cannot tell you the last time I ever walked in to somebody's house and saw popcorn on their Christmas tree. Does anybody still do that? I remember when people used to string up that popcorn and they would keep it in their decorations. They would put it in their box and save it until the following year. So they were not interested in creating that string of popcorn every year. Once they made it, they just wanted to store it. And for a lot of people who stored their Christmas decorations in the attic or someplace else in their home, this became a problem because obviously sometimes there are animals in people's homes that like to go after popcorn. It is a food product, and that can create all kinds of problems as well. But I don't know what happened to popcorn on the Christmas tree. I don't know what happened to giving oranges for Christmas. I don't know what happened to the icicles that people used to put on their tree, which that used to be awful, because trying to vacuum those up was certainly a mess. All kinds of things that people don't do anymore. Now, I remember for a while it was a big thing to take that aerosol can of fake snow and put that on your tree. Now, I have not seen that in a while either. I never understood that, because if you have an artificial tree, are you trying to make it look like a real tree? as if it has snowed in your house or something like that. That was always just a funny thing to me, because even if you have a real tree, obviously it doesn't have snow on it. It's inside your house. So if you have an artificial tree, I don't know what the point was of buying this aerosol can of fake snow to put it on your tree. I don't know. Kind of all over the place here this morning. Does anybody have a weird a food concoction that they like to eat? Does anybody have anything that they put together that nobody in their house really likes, or maybe everybody in their house does like, but it's not something that you would find in a cookbook or on a cooking website or something of that nature? As I said this morning, we heard about the peanut butter and the syrup. We heard about the hamburger and the pickles and the mayonnaise all mixed together. Is there anything else that people like, that you like, that might be considered to be a little off-center? Some kind of food combination. Be interesting to know. Give me a ring here, 740-383-9944, 740-383-9944, and we still do have our trivia questions relating to coffee from yesterday. What did Americans used to drink with their breakfast before coffee became a big thing in America? What was the breakfast drink of America? Does anybody know that? That's an interesting one, I think. Go ahead, caller. Oh, we lost our caller. If that was you, give us a call back. 740-383-9944. If that was you, call back in. We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Somehow we got disconnected there. But remember, if the phone line's ringing busy, it just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on calling back in. But if that was you, call us back. 740-383-9944. Okay, hopefully this is that person who we were just talking to. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, that was me. Somewhere got disconnected. the question to what they drink before coffee, was it tea?
You know, it wasn't tea. That would have been my first guess, though. Would have been tea. But it was not tea, which I was kind of shocked about because of our English heritage in this country.
Right. And one of the things, the concoctions you talk about people come up with, when I was younger, I liked buttermilk and eating barbecue Fritos. But my sister took it beyond that. She would put Fritos in a bowl and throw buttermilk in it, like cereal, and sit there and eat it. And I thought it was terribly gross doing it that way, but yet I ate it.
Now, so what was it about the buttermilk and the Fritos that was a good concoction? Was it just kind of the sweet and the spicy?
I think it was the spicy, and the buttermilk cooled it down.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, kind of cooled it down, you know, on your tongue. And yeah, I mean, that's really what it was. Oh. Nowadays, I've even got my grandkids to try it, and they hate it. And if I, we get them a sippy cup, and I say, oh, grandpa, put buttermilk in that, they'll want to smell the milk to make sure it ain't buttermilk, because they know what it smells like.
So they're on to you in that regard.
Oh, absolutely, especially my grandson. He will not touch it until he gets to smell it.
Well, it's one of those things, just one of those
yes,
things.
Yes, it is.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Have a good day, Scott.
Bye-bye. Yeah, well, there you go. Buttermilk and Fritos. Now, that would not be something that you would really consider to be an average dish or an average snack, but for some people it is. As I have said before, I know people who used to dip the saltine crackers in just plain milk. Now, I don't think that goes on very much anymore, the saltine crackers and the milk. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, was it Postum?
Postum? You know, it wasn't Postum before coffee, but that's a good guess.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Not Postum, and we had a whole show on Postum not too long ago. But the trivia question is, what did Americans used to drink with breakfast before coffee? What were they doing with breakfast before coffee. Go ahead, caller.
Peanut butter and pickle sandwiches.
Peanut butter and pickle, like dill pickles?
No, got to be sweet pickles.
Sweet pickles.
Sweet pickles. Peanut butter and pickle sandwiches. I used to take those to school for lunch every day.
So is it just white bread and you put some peanut butter and put some sweet pickles on there?
Yep.
And now is this creamy peanut butter or crunchy?
Yeah, creamy.
Or creamy. Creamy peanut butter.
And
now
another one that we used to have is Vidalia onions, slice of tomato with butter on bread.
Ah. Well, that doesn't sound too bad.
Oh, that's good. That's eaten.
Now, do you still have the peanut butter and pickle sandwiches?
Absolutely.
It's still a popular thing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, hey, thanks. That's interesting. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. See, now we're getting into it. Peanut butter and pickle sandwiches. Buttermilk and Fritos. Peanut butter and pickle sandwiches. Peanut butter and syrup, we've heard this morning. We're creating a list of things that people eat that maybe are a little out of the ordinary. Do you have something? 740-383-9944, 28 minutes past the hour. Now, we're also talking about a trivia question here. What did Americans used to eat or drink with breakfast before coffee? Before coffee became a big thing here in America, what were Americans having with their breakfast? What kind of beverage? Now, yesterday we learned that Teddy Roosevelt was the president who drank a gallon of coffee with his breakfast every morning, which was interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I know we used to drink hot chocolate.
Oh, hot chocolate. Yeah, hot chocolate is an interesting one, but hot chocolate is not what predated coffee. There was actually something else.
Yeah, you're right on that. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, the question is, what did Americans used to drink with their breakfast before coffee? Before coffee became the drink of breakfast, what did Americans have with their breakfast every morning? And we've heard all kinds of interesting things as far as little snacks that people have. Peanut butter and pickle sandwiches. Peanut butter and syrup. And Fritos and buttermilk. Now, there's something if you wanted to try it. Also, saltine crackers and regular milk. It's all very interesting. We're going to take a short time out here, and we'll be back with much more on The Early Show here on WWGH Radio. Don't you dare go anywhere. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Hey, we're back here on WWGH Radio, Wednesday, October the 16th, 2019, and one of our favorite people has stopped by here. She is currently the Democratic candidate in the 5th Ward. Elections coming up, boy, right around the corner here.
25 days.
Yeah, we're right there. Tara Dyer. Tara, how goes the campaign trail?
Hey, good morning, Marion. The campaign is really, really exciting. It's going well. We're anticipating a lot of you Marion voters getting out on Election Day and voting. But you do know that early voting has started. So if you want to avoid the lines and the hustle bustle of Election Day, you can go to your local Board of Elections office and vote today if you want. Some people are traditionalists and they like to go actually on that day, which, you know, I respect that. But if you want to, you know, avoid that, go ahead and go vote today, tomorrow, Sunday, whenever. So.
When I brought this up on Facebook over the weekend, because I have seen this trend locally, which it did not used to be a local trend, of people voting down party lines in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. What do you think spurred that?
Well, I said on your show many times that I feel that people are voting party over country, and I think the party control, whether it be Democratic or Republican, is something that mandates legislation and those type things. So I think a lot of people just want that control over, and you can look at the national trend as far as that's concerned. So I think it's about control of what is being legislated and laws and governance, to tell you the truth. Sometimes you don't actually study your candidate. So I was heartened to see what you had written, I think it was on Facebook, about cautioning the voter to be an educated voter and to look at the candidate and not necessarily the R or the D after their name. So I was glad to see you kind of start that dialogue, because it echoes a lot of the way I feel. This trend, I think, hurt me in the county commissioner's race. I think a lot of people voted party over candidacy, and I think that's sometimes sad, because, you know, sometimes you just maintain the same status quo instead of looking at a person that can invigorate and ignite change and do what's best for that particular position.
Well, it's been fascinating to watch, and kind of what spurred that that post was watching politics here in Marion for a long time. Mm-hmm. I have been shocked to see the party line voting that has went on in the last 3 years, because I don't locally, I really don't understand what the D or the R means in a city council race.
Yeah, I think, you know, like in the beginning, when the Democrats did lose control of council, it was sad, because a lot of times, even on council, I've been attending, I probably attended since I declared all of the city council meetings, and most oftentimes people do vote according to party lines. So I don't know if everybody gets together in a huddle and say, like, if this person brings, you know, this piece to the floor, then we're all going to be behind that person or whatever. I don't know the mechanics behind the whole thing, but I think as far as Marion is concerned, I think it's a status type of thing. But I also think that for us, the people who actually are in place and are making those decisions, they need to make the decisions based on what their ward and what the constituents in their ward are telling them to do, because that's who they represent, not the actual party. So when you get elected, it's, you know, throw R's and D's out the window. Now you become a representative of the people who voted you in.
Tara, I think we got a phone call here. If you want to put the headphone up to your ear there, and we'll be able to listen to the caller. Caller, are you still there?
Yeah, I was listening.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know what it is you're talking about exactly. I heard representative and about the Republicans and Democrats, and that's it.
Well, we're talking about the trend on in local politics, not so much statewide or national, to where in the last 3 years, here in Marion, and I'm sure it's other places as well, people are voting party line politics in Marion. If you look at the votes that a certain party gets or another party gets locally, you will find that almost all the candidates with that party more or less get about that many votes. So I would only have to chalk that up to a party line vote.
Well, that's how most people vote, don't they?
Well, I don't know. I would hope not. Not in a local election.
You have what they call independents,
yeah.
The independents, by and large, half of them don't vote. And then, of course, the other half, usually don't know or probably don't care, like the last 2 years, for example, and they just vote for issues like taxation. And that's pretty much it, because they believe that the same characters are going to end up back in office anyway. So, well, whether they vote for them or against them or not,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the last 2 years have been, I have to tell you, especially in city council, I don't know if they realize this or not, but by and large, most of them seem to, I don't know how I could put it, but I've been to a couple of city council meetings, and it's like it was back in the 2000s with the county.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if I want to say that or not, but it always seems like it's prestige more than anything else. It's like you become a city councilman and suddenly you get prestige, and then the rest of it, like passing ordinances or anything like that, seems like to be second in your mind.
Mm-hmm. So, have you ever contacted your city?
In the last 2 years, have been that way, especially where the ward that I come from. It's like it just doesn't seem like they care too much at all.
Well, Tara had a question here for you.
So you told me you. A participant of the government by attending the city council meetings. That's number one right there. So you have to participate in government. That's why when we have this dialogue, your input is so important. Many people sit on the porch and they complain about the government and they're not participating in government. So I applaud you for going to city council meetings. The other
thing, forgive me for asking the question, but who am I addressing again?
My name is Tara Dyer. I'm in the 5th Ward Democratic race for City Council. So,
and who's your opponent?
Leslie Cunningham.
Oh, well.
And so,
good luck on that.
Oh, thank you.
How old are you anyway?
Huh?
How old are you anyway?
I am 62.
62?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in Ward 1. And the one that's running against the Republicans' pick is Kai Mead. I got to meet him on Saturday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met you, I admit, but I did finally meet him. So,
mm-hmm. So what was your experience? Yeah, what was your experience with Kai?
I thought he was articulate.
Mm-hmm.
In all honesty, it's like the other one never bothered to show up,
mm-hmm.
and I gave him opportunity. But I live in a portion of the of Ward 1 that I guess not a whole lot of people vote in, and you know, they don't seem to care.
So,
but he obviously did, because he came over and we sat there and spoke for probably about for about 10 or 15 minutes or so, and then me and my wife both actually. So I guess, you know, for somebody made a crack on Facebook that because he served at Applebee's that he shouldn't be running for city council. And I'm like, the same individual I supposedly tended bar at one time. I'm not going to say who, but I mean, they supposedly tended bar at one time. It's like, should they be running?
Well, the first ward's interesting, to be honest with you, because
it truly is, yeah.
I believe it's the only race this time that has no incumbent. And it is a Republican ward right now, but it was a Democratic ward for 20 years prior to that. So the first ward's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Right. And Kai's opponent declared late for a long time in your ward, sir. Kai was the only, we thought he was going to be unopposed. And then the Republicans did put someone in that. So Kai has been out doing the work for a long time. And I would venture to guess that that wasn't the first time that Kai has been in your neighborhood. He's been pounding the pavements. And should we... You know, I had a fortunate job. I was an elementary school teacher for 35 years. So I had a really legit type job. Should we look at what people do as a description or an indicator as to what he's going to do on city council? Kai's also a learned politician, and by that I mean he's been taking courses at The Ohio State University. He participates in the political process there, and he has been really a student of city council. He attends the actual meetings. He's been in attendance there. He asks thoughtful questions, and he appears to be very dedicated and committed to your ward. So, and I'm not just saying that. Scott and I were just talking about erasing the R's and the D's from your memory bank and just kind of looking at the person and who can do the job. And I believe that Kai could do the job.
Well, he said, I don't know exactly what the organization is, but I guess it's a college organization. It's like Student Democrats. So he did say something about that. And it just adds to the experience, I suppose. But, I mean, he is 21 years old, but that's true. But, I mean... We have had younger people run for office in Marion before, but it just seems to me that for the most part, the city council, to me, it's like if you're going to use it for
status and
then don't run because it's like I don't show up to city council all the time, but when I do, I sit there and I speak. Usually on some subject or another. And I may not always be right. A lot of the time I'm probably wrong. But I still will discuss it. And it was like, let me put it to this instance. It's like back in December when the DKMM sat there and showed up with all of their people, it was like they were just gonna vote it in. Except that two people spoke, and I'm sure you know who those two were, and both of them were Democrats. Not a single Republican sat there and spoke in opposition or for this, and why? And they were just going to vote it through.
Well, other thing, I get your point, but the other thing with city council is people only show up when there's a hot button issue. Like, there was standing room only at the meetings that you referenced, because people were passionate about, you know, that particular subject. And so there were, I mean, it was packed. You go to a city council meeting, I counted the last meeting I went, there were like 15 non-representatives there because we weren't talking fire and brimstone stuff, you know? I mean, and I understand what you're saying. You come and participate, but I think people need to hold our elected officials accountable. And if you only come when there is something hot button, then you're not proactively trying to make the changes that are necessary. And Marion, the city council members, you know, have to have their feet to the fire. And when they look out there and see an audience full of people from all wards, I think that puts them on their toes and puts them on notice that people are watching as they legislate. And so, you know, we live in a democracy, and that's the way it should be.
Well, we live in a democratic republic, but, I mean, that's splitting hairs.
It's supposed to be a democracy. It's supposed to be, you know. The framers, that's what they you know, thought when, you know, when they put forth documents of how we were supposed to live our lives. So it's supposed to be, quote-unquote, a democracy, and I have to believe in that.
Well, not that I'm just saying, in the Democratic Republic, it's like when you have, if you have a pure democracy, then you're in trouble. I mean, because majority rules in all of the cases, and it rules badly against you, it's like it's going to happen.
Listen, that's what we're talking about. That's exactly what the point of this is. That's what how Scott started this conversation. You know, the majority rules, and if you're an R in this county, the majority seems to be overwhelmingly, you know, in favor of voting among the ticket instead of the candidate. So that's exactly the point that he was trying to make. If the majority rules and we're trying to find the best person for the job, you know, you shouldn't look at whether they're a Democrat or Republican. You should, in your mind, vote your conscience and say, I know that this person will be able to do the job. Now, I like what you're saying about Kai, that he came and spoke to you and your wife. I do think that he's putting in the work. I really do. And in the conversations that we have had, I think that he's very much in tune to what's going on. He is, you know, going to get married here soon, and he believes in Marion and doing what's best in Marion, you know. So I trust him at his word, and I think because of his youth and vitality, he will put in the work, and that energy is going to be reflected in how he does and the decisions that he makes at council. So you just have to, you know, when he gets in, and I say when, you just got to make sure you keep his ear and tell him what you want for your ward.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to be truthful here. I'm like, I don't normally I sit there and vote along Republican lines, and I mean, in most cases, I'll sit there and do this too, but, I mean, I was disappointed. I have to say, I was disappointed. It was just, I mean, well, 2 years ago, it's like, well, it became, you had a Democrat, and you had a Republican majority for the first time in years, and it's not a, I hate to say it, I'd usually just sit there and, I don't know how you'd put it, but it's like they don't even speak up.
So
they're supposed to change things, and it's
okay,
like I didn't.
That's
see
what I was going to ask. I was going to say, what does a Republican majority look like, and what were your expectations? I guess is my question. Is that, you know, for example, what is the Republican agenda, and how is that different from the Democratic agenda? So I guess what were your expectations when the Republicans did take the majority of council? What expectations were not met?
I suppose, I mean, if any one thing comes to my mind,
okay,
is to at least be more vocal
Oh, I gotcha.
Just mm-hmm. not sit there in one meeting after another and say nothing until, mm-hmm. oh, well, here's one.
Okay.
It was like, this was suggested by a Democrat. I'm sure you know who that was.
Okay.
It was like, but they suggested, for example, it's like certain city council meetings turned into three-hour affairs when the committee sits there and passes an ordinance between the committee members to send to council. And then the city council members, some of them, don't know anything that was on the ordinance. And then they start asking questions about it. They didn't ask any questions about it when it was being passed, mm-hmm. but suddenly they're asking the questions now because now it's the council vote, mm-hmm. and they're getting ready to vote on it. And mm-hmm. then suddenly something that lasted 45 minutes turns into a three-hour affair.
Right.
Now one Democrat suggested, and that's all they did, was suggest that the city council members start attending the committee meetings, even the committee meetings that they don't, that
you're right,
they're not
that,
part of.
That they don't chair, right.
And he got lambasted for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I mean, why wouldn't you? It's not like they were passing an ordinance saying that you have to be there. Mm-hmm. It was only a suggestion so that when the full council comes to session, it doesn't turn into 10:30 at night.
Right, right. You have to do your homework first on that. That did turn into something, but in their defense, there is nothing in their job description that says they have to attend. Now, you have to, if you are elected to a job, you're supposed to be in attendance. You're supposed to be. If it's a voluntary kind of thing, people become more lax as far as that's concerned. They did have opportunity to bring that to committee and put that into, you know, the laws and the legislature, but they decided not to. I think it's a good idea to attend so it doesn't become a marathon meeting. And which that was my, to your point also, I'm not seeing people. I got lambasted on Facebook last night because I'm asking why these legislators are not present at some of the community forums and some of the meetings that are being put out there so that we can hear the voices of the constituents. And, you know, people on my Facebook said, well, what if they had previous commitments? And, you know, you don't know what their lives are like. But I'm saying when I become elected, I'm going to be, you know, the same. I'm on several boards. I'm on the Turning Point board. I'm on the Marion Public Health board. I work with housing. I work with Drug-Free Marion. I'm working as a mentor in the schools because I want to be close to the people. So when you talk about that issue of presence, it does become a burden when people aren't there and you have to kind of like reteach stuff. So that was a marathon, and it continued to be a marathon, not only for that particular meeting, but for several meetings to come.
Do you realize that, I mean, if you're serious about this, is that when you become a city council member, and no, grant you, I have never been a city council member.
Okay.
I have been a ward officer. Mm-hmm. I have been a ward officer of the Democratic Party before I changed allegiances, and that was back in 2008, and that was because I wanted to vote for in the sheriff's race. And you were running, there was a candidate that was running against Sheriff Bailey. It was a three-sided race.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be part of the DARE,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to vote for him.
Right.
And I could do that as a Democrat, so I had to change party lines to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand, it's like, at least from what I've seen,
mm-hmm.
it's like if you're serious about being a city councilman, it's like you're going to be putting more hours into it than the $700 plus you're going to get a month.
Right.
I mean, it's right. people are going to call you during the day or even in the evening when you might say that you've got your time off. You may not have. You're going to get stuff like that. And they're going to want advice. They're going to want, you know, where can I find this or, you know, whatever. And it's, you're going to have to put a lot of time into it. And it just seems to me that it's like the city council for some became a stepping stone toward higher up. And it's like you didn't stay there, even 2 years. And already you're running for higher office.
Yeah, and so that's what two of your candidates are doing. Kevin Norris is running for mayor, you know, and Bobby Landon is running for auditor. And you know, they've only been on there 2 years. That was your big celebration, you know, when the Republicans did take over council. And you know, I don't begrudge them for wanting to go higher up or whatever, but that's to your point. And then Rick Huddle, who has some health issues, you know, he's not going to be running again. So you've got the independent Kathy Swanger in that race, and Mayfield in the sixth there. So those three Republicans, Landon, Norris, and Huddle, that's going to be three that are going to, you know, either vie to another Republican candidate or have aspirations at the higher level. And that could be bad. But you do have Neff coming on at large, and I believe that race is uncontested. So you have Josh Daniels, and you have Becky Gustin, and you have Neff coming on in the at-large positions, and Neff is a Republican. So there's going to be a big shakeup as far as city council is concerned, and you're right. You know, once you start and learn and get, you know, your feet wet, it's going to be time for another election, you know, and it might be another shakeup. So we've got to create some type of stability within city council, and it's going to be a huge job, but I feel that a lot of things that I'm doing in the community, I put in the hours anyways. So I may as well be in a position that could legislate for the people. I feel like I know the people. I feel like I listen to their concerns in the Fifth Ward. I patronize the businesses. I've been in the Fifth Ward for 3 decades plus, and I'm concerned about the direction that our city is headed, and I want to be there to make those positive changes so that we can have a great Marion where our kids can thrive and prosper, and for you who are in First Ward, that you can, you know, be rest assured that, you know, we're doing things that reflect what your values and opinions are.
Well, caller, I appreciate you calling in. We're about to run out of time here.
Yeah, nice conversation, nice dialogue.
I realized it was 10 o'clock,
but no, I thank you, and call back in any morning.
Please, we'll get Kai on. About that?
Yeah, that's right.
Scott, invite Kai on, and then you call back.
Doing this tomorrow too, or no?
Oh yeah, we'll be here every weekday, 8 to 10 a.m.
All right, we'll do.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, we'll get Kai on because he had some really great insights.
Well,
as far as that's concerned,
it's interesting to me, and people are certainly allowed to vote whichever way they want. But when I'm talking about party affiliation, what I'm saying is if one party wins everything, I don't know how we're getting the best representation, because I assume any party has their picadillos. So I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, diverse thought is always good, and it's no fun, you know, when you're sitting at the table and, you know, you're like, okay, you got spaghetti, and what's your opinion about spaghetti? Well, I like it. You know, if everybody likes spaghetti, then you'll never try any other type of pasta, you know. So I think the diversity, not only in race, gender, and ethnicity, but also party line, I think that's important.
I think you're right. Now, before we let Tara go, for 5 years now here at WWGH Radio, what we do like to do is to remind people to get out and vote. No matter how they vote, we want them to get out and vote.
Please, please.
Yes. So Tara is going to be our first person to do this this year, and she did it last year as well. So I'm going to let her have the floor here for about 30 seconds to read this statement.
This is Tara Dyer, and I am a candidate for City Council, 5th Ward to be specific. I along with WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, would like to remind you not to forget to vote on Tuesday, November 5th. This announcement has been paid for by the Friends of Tara Dyer.
Tara, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you're always welcome here, and we'll see you next Thursday.
All right.
Charlie Evers coming up in about 10 minutes, and then Glenn Coble at 12:15.
The ball, and Marion, and Cleveland, everything. Stop getting me laughing. It's too early.